Okay, so today is Palms, and our reading today that you've been waiting for comes from John's Gospel and chapter 12. So if you have a Bible, or you can open your Bible app on your phone or your iPad or whatever, then if you'd like to turn with me to John's Gospel and chapter 12. And before I read it, just to say that in these last few weeks, we've been tracing our way through John's Gospel, and we've been investigating the person of Jesus in John's Gospel. And I must confess that I have jumped a little bit. We're going to go backwards kind of directly after Christmas. We'll be back in John's Gospel chapter 11, but because it's Palm Sunday, we're going to focus today on the event of the entry into Jerusalem of Jesus. So I'm in John's Gospel. It's actually page 1079 in the Church Bible. I'm going to read from verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Amen. We thank God for this reading from his words. So, these last few weeks we've been investigating and exploring John's Gospel. Two key questions that we've been thinking about and reflecting on that are there within the pages of John's Gospel that John is seeking to answer, which are, first of all, who is the Messiah that people are talking about? And Messiah, the same, that's a Hebrew word, the same word in Greek is Christ, and in English it's King. So the question everybody is asking is, who is the King? Who is God's King, God's chosen King, the one that God had promised to send for us, to rule over us in love and justice and peace? But the second question that we have discovered and are exploring within John's Gospel is, if Jesus is this King, what is the nature of his kingdom? What is his kingdom like? And John has generally answered the question by giving accounts of miracles, astounding events that Jesus has done, and the way that Jesus has done these miracles and the spirit in which he's performed these miracles in love and kindness and compassion reveals something of the nature of his kingdom. But also we've been seeing that as well as there being seven signs in John's Gospel, seven miracles, there are also seven key sayings where Jesus takes a name that God gives to himself, which is a very strange name, but in ancient times God said his name was I Am. Simply that, I Am. And Jesus takes that strange name of God and applies it to himself and says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep, and so on. And we've been exploring all these miracles and sayings, discovering something of who the king is and what this king is like and what his kingdom is like. But today we're going to be thinking about the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it's extraordinary that right in the middle of John's Gospel are the answers to the questions. Who is the king and what is his kingdom like? So we haven't even got to get to the end. You know, quite often when you read books, I don't know how many avid readers we've got here, but quite often when you read books, the answer is at the end of the book. You're left hanging on till the end. John, in his gospel, telling the stories about Jesus, he actually answers the questions about Jesus at the beginning and at the end, but also here in the middle. So there's no mistaking what the answers are. And the clues, the answers to our questions, are found hidden in this passage. And so, just very few points here. This entry into Jerusalem where Jesus is declared as king. And the first thing to highlight is Jesus is the conquering king. What kind of king is he? Jesus is the conquering king. So if we have a look at our Bibles, the passage that I read just a moment ago, in verse 13, it says this. The people had heard Jesus was coming, and it says this in verse 13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel. And that first sentence, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. And that in itself, we might think, well, that's a very strange thing to do. If you have visitors come to your house, you might go out, but how often have you taken palm branches out to welcome somebody when they come? The tradition of people going out of a city to welcome a conquering hero was well known. We know it from the Roman Empire. When the Roman emperor was announced as the emperor and he returned perhaps from waging a great victory in a war, then people very eagerly, it's a very political thing to do, but very eagerly they would rush out of the city when they heard the emperor was coming because they wanted to be there welcoming the emperor. And in a way, they wanted to be identified with the emperor who was coming as the emperor to the city of Rome. They wanted perhaps the emperor to see them and they wanted to identify, I am with the conquering hero. I am with the emperor. I belong to him. I want to serve him. So that tradition of going out to meet the hero as he comes into the kingdom or into the city to rule over the kingdom, that was well known among people. And so it's not surprising in a way that people, having heard of the extraordinary things that Jesus has done, having seen some of the miracles that Jesus has done, they go out of the city to welcome Jesus into the city because they recognize Jesus is the king. And that's all very well, but what about these palm branches? What kind of strange tradition is this? The palm branches, it says they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Well, there's a story in the history of the Jewish nation that is really significant for the Jews. We don't have it recorded in our Bibles. It happens between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. And it's about a family called the Maccabees. Has anybody heard of the Maccabees? If you're familiar with Handel's oratorios, then he has written Judas Maccabeus. And that's about the Maccabean family. Well, there was an empire ruling over Israel. They were known as the Seleucids, and they were a horrible, vile empire. And their ruler, he had a wonderful name. His name was Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. Wouldn't you like a name like that? Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. And he ruled with an iron rod, an iron fist over all of his empire, but particularly Israel. And he hated the fact, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, he hated the fact that the Jews, the Israelites, had an allegiance to God and not to him. And so Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, he banned the Israelites from worshipping God, from reading their scriptures, and from celebrating any of their festivals. And because of that, he was hated anyway, but he was hated. And there was an uprising. Some brave men, known as the Maccabees, from the Maccabean family, they led an uprising against Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and the Seleucids were driven out of Israel. And it was a great moment. And until the Romans came on the scene, the Maccabees and those they appointed, they ruled over Israel. Now, what's this got to do with the palm branches? It is this. The story is told that after the defeat of this evil empire, a man by the name of Simon Maccabeus entered Jerusalem. And it was said, the crowd cried out, a great enemy has been crushed and removed from Israel. And what did the crowd come out of the city with? Palm branches. They all came out waving palm branches in front of Simon Maccabeus, acknowledging him as the conquering king. And so it's very likely that when Jesus approaches Jerusalem, yes, people go out to meet him. They wanted to be identified with Jesus, the king. They wanted to say, I want to serve him. But this strange thing about the palm branches, it goes back to the story of the Maccabees and this man, Simon Maccabeus, who led the uprising against the evil enemy. Now, we can say, well, the crowd, they're doing this. They go out to meet Jesus, the king, and they wave their palm branches because they had done that before when the empire had been driven away. But of course, Israel was ruled at this time that we're reading about now. Israel was ruled by the Romans, and they weren't going anywhere fast. And so what the people are doing as they go out to meet the king and as they wave their palm branches for the conquering king, it's a very deep and profound hope that they are exercising. They are saying, we hope for this to be true. But this is not a wishful hope. It's not just wishful thinking that they're exercising as they wave their palm branches. This deep and profound hope is to say, we believe in God, the God of all hope, that he will take this man, Jesus, our King, and somehow, through this man, through Jesus, he will save us and deliver us from all our enemies. And so they affirm Jesus on this Palm Sunday as the conquering king. The second thing is Jesus is the saving king. Well, we've already read in verse 13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel. And that's the verse that we have here. And Hosanna literally means, I think many of us will know, Hosanna literally means save us. So the people, as they go out to meet Jesus the King, they're waving their palm branches. They believe Jesus is the conquering King, but they shout Hosanna. So even as the king approaches. Save us, save us, save us. That's what they're crying out to Jesus. Now we know that while the crowd might have shouted, Hosanna, save us, and what they may have meant was save us from the empire that oppresses us in our lives, we know that Jesus and his saving of us is far deeper and more profound than simply driving an empire away or an enemy away. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't just change our circumstances. Jesus changes our very lives. And that's part of what it means to be saved, is that we are changed ourselves. We are saved from all that brings us down and all that prevents us from loving others as we should and loving God as we should. And so Jesus is the conquering king. Jesus is the saving king. That's what the crowd announced. Hosanna, save us. And then the third is Jesus is the humble king. So verse 14 in our passage. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Now, we've had the palm branches, and we may think, why the palm branches? And hopefully I've explained why they would have taken and waved palm branches. But why would Jesus sit on a donkey? He could easily have walked into Jerusalem, just a couple of miles. He could have done that. Jesus had walked into Jerusalem many other times. But what Jesus is doing, he's enacting something prophetic. He's enacting a picture for the people to say to them, this is something about the nature of King Jesus. This is what he's like. Jesus is a humble king. Jesus is a humble king. One thing we know about the Romans, for example, when they entered cities, they would come on their war horses, they would be holding up their banners and their standards, and there would be a great fuss all around them. And as the Romans entered cities, it was always a display of power. This is how strong we are. That's what they want to communicate. This is how strong we are. If you stand against us, be aware, even as we approach, we are stronger than you. We will deal with you with our great power. Now, one of the questions we've been asking in John's Gospel is, what's the nature of the kingdom? Is the kingdom of Jesus a kingdom of the power of men, the power to crush other people, the power to put down those that we disagree with, the power to get rid of other people, the power to kill people? And Jesus, riding on his donkey, is enacting what the prophet Zechariah actually predicted would happen, that God's king wouldn't come on a battle horse or a war horse. He wouldn't wave his battle standards to say, this is how powerful I am. He would come sitting humbly on a donkey to say the nature of the kingdom of God is utterly different to all the kingdoms that we are familiar with. Jesus sits on a donkey to say, this is a humble kingdom. The power of the kingdom of God is not the power that we are used to. It's not the power that we're used to seeing being exercised by prime ministers and presidents and kings and so on. But it's the power of great love. Love that moves towards justice and justice that creates peace. So Jesus is the humble king, fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah, who, I don't know how many years, 300, 400, 500 years before Jesus, had said, this is how God's king will enter Jerusalem. He'll come seated on a donkey. Okay, so we've had the conquering king, we've had the saving king, we've had Jesus as the humble king, and then lastly, Jesus as the peaceful king. You might have noticed that in John's account of Palm Sunday, there's no... Have you noticed what's missing? People in the other Gospels are recorded as having taken their cloaks. Do you remember that? And laid the cloaks on the floor. John doesn't record that at all, so we're not going to comment on that. Jesus is the peaceful king. So what we have here, the account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. The people go out to meet him. They wave their palm branches. Here is the conquering king. They shout out to Jesus, Hosanna, save us, because they know and anticipate Jesus is the saving king. He comes on a donkey as the humble king, fulfilling the words of the prophet Zechariah, predicting that the king of God would come seated on a donkey. But this fourth point, Jesus is a peaceful king. If we read on in Zechariah, that quote from Zechariah comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That's what John records, that God's king is going to come seated on a donkey. Zechariah 9, verse 9. If you read Zechariah 9, verse 10, at the end of that verse, it says of this king, he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea. And very often we find when the gospel writers quote just a line or a snippet of a verse from the Old Testament, I think they want us to call to mind the whole context of that little snippet. And Zechariah predicting the coming of the humble king, he wants people to recognize this humble king is a peaceful king. He's full of peace. There is a difference between peace-loving and peace-making. Yeah? There's a difference between peace-loving and peace-making. And when we hear that Jesus is a peaceful king, I wonder on which side are we? Are we peace-loving or peacemaking? You see, peace-loving. If you've got kids, or you can remember when you've had kids, and they wake you at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're making a racket, at that point, you're a lover of peace, aren't you? And you think, what do I need to do to just have quiet, you know? What sometimes happens, I mean, would it happen in my household? Well, I couldn't admit to it, but you give the kids a treat. You sit them in front of the TV with the children's programs on. Does that happen anywhere else? You know? And I know you shouldn't give kids sweet things first thing in the morning. You shouldn't bribe them. But that's sometimes what we do because we love peace. And so we will do whatever we need to do to get peace, because we love it and we want it. Now we can scale that up into all sorts of situations. And if we love peace and we're a peace lover, then sometimes we are prepared to compromise. We're prepared to give people whatever they want just so that we can be in peace. And that's it. Those who are peacemakers say something a little bit different, because it's possible to have peace where injustice still remains. People who are suffering may start protesting on the streets. And we say, we love peace. Get them off the streets. Let's hide them away. I remember a friend of mine who lived near Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States, said that when the Atlanta Olympics were held, was that 1996? I think, possibly. When the Atlanta Olympics were held, all of the homeless people who were visible normally in the city were put on buses and carted outside the city. Okay? Why did they do that? Because they wanted peace in the city. They didn't want homeless people hassling all the tourists. That's an example of peace-loving. Let's just get rid of the irritation. Peacemaking says, how do we find homes for the homeless? How do we fulfill the needs of the homeless? That's peacemaking. And we'll have peace, but it's a much tougher journey to peace. And there are many other examples we could dwell on. But there is peace-loving and peacemaking. Jesus is the peaceful King. He comes to make peace. And in order to make peace, he will deal with injustice. He will deal with what is wrong in our culture and our communities and our societies. And he will deal with what is wrong in our own hearts. Because he will make peace by dealing with what is wrong. And only after that will we experience peace. And so this Palm Sunday, as Jesus approaches Jerusalem and the people acknowledge him, we have these four little points. Jesus is the conquering King. Jesus is the saving King. Jesus is the humble King. And Jesus is the peaceful King. Let's pause there and let's pray together. Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of David, the King of Israel, the one who comes for peace, the one who comes to work justice. Hosanna, come and save us, Lord Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we might have placed within us that same desire for peace, for justice, for love. And pour out your Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we might have energy and enthusiasm and encouragement within us to work and to work hard towards peace and justice and love. May your blessing rest upon us to this end. In the name of Christ, amen.